You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. What does the future hold for fish and the people who pursue them? This question is being explored in a new book written by the Director of Science Communications for the Nature Conservancy, Matthew Miller, who also happens to be an avid angler. Miller is joining me live in studio to talk more about this, as well as his new book titled Fishing Through the Apocalypse. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Sounds like a very ominous title.
Well, yeah, I think in a way it is. This book kind of had its impetus in a stream that ran through family property in central Pennsylvania. And I grew up fishing and exploring the outdoors, but I never fished this stream. And the reason why was it's been biologically dead for four generations. And so my great-grandfather never fished there because of acid mine drainage. But the thing is, when I was growing up, I just considered this normal, you know, like I never considered it something exceptional. And later, as an adult, I read a book about East Coast fisheries, and I realized that at one point this stream supported commercial fisheries. George Washington, downstream from there, had a commercial fishery on there. It was so rich. It was like Alaska. But because it's been dead when I was biologically dead when I was born, that's just what I accepted as normal, which is pretty typical.
So part of the exploration in your book is where people fish and how fish are being affected. And take me to a trip that you took to Florida, a fishing trip, and because this is the intro of your book. But talk to me a little bit about what you found and kind of how it affected you as well.
Yeah, so South Florida is really intriguing because you have a place like Miami, a huge metropolis.
Yeah, but you get out of Miami and...
Right away, and you like literally across the city limits, you're in the Everglades, a wilderness. But as I write in the book, what happens in Miami doesn't stay in Miami. So a lot of people keep tropical fish as pets. The fish outgrow their tanks. They dump them in a Miami canal. And those fish go to the Everglades. So you have really weird things like snakeheads. You have catfish that can walk, that can literally walk on the ground. You have all these colorful, exotic fish that are living in these canals and also in what we would consider wilderness, like the Everglades.
So how does that affect, because these are non-native fish to that area. So how does that then affect, you know, the fish that are native to the area?
Yeah, and in part because the Everglades is inaccessible, researchers are still trying to get a handle on it because some of these will never eradicate these fish.
Right.
They're there. They're certainly competing.
Well, the alligators might get them.
Yes, yeah. And that happened a lot while I was fishing there. Even fish I would catch, the alligators would snap up. But we don't fully know the implications, but it's pretty clear that they are competing with native fish.
So also in a place like Florida, like you have, if people are familiar at all, when you go toward between, you know, like Miami and the Naples-Fort Myers area, you have Lake Okeechobee right there, which... I mean, I've seen people trying to fish there, and you have a lot of things that go into that lake. But that is something that's not just in Florida. You see this in other areas too, correct?
Absolutely. And that's a central premise of my book. So there's this notion of fly fishing that's very romantic. You know, a river runs
through it. And it's very Western, yes.
Yes, and beautiful wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I love that kind of fishing, but it's not the total reality. And people will fish wherever there are fish. If you go to an urban pier in any city in the country, there will be people there fishing. And that's part of the reality of our connection to the natural world as well. And I actually think it's a richer story than just the romantic fly fisher standing in the wilderness. People still want to catch fish. It's one of our preoccupations as humans.
So you grew up on the East Coast, but you live in Idaho now. Is there a different mindset to fishing? Because I think when you talk about that fly fishing and that romantic idea of it, that is something. I mean, you go down to the Boise River and you see people fly fishing. You don't see that in the middle of New York City.
You might be surprised. I think that there are people fishing just about anywhere there are
Well,
there
not
are
fly
fish.
Fishing yeah, in New yeah, York right, City. Right. They're not fly fishing.
Right. They're not fly fishing there. I think that in Idaho, we have the public lands and waters that are really a precious heritage. We often take them for granted, but it really is what is preserving fish and fishing. And if you look at a factor like climate change, it's going to hit cold water species like trout and salmon hard. You know, cutthroat trout, 58% of their habitat is going to be lost due to climate change. But if they have connected wild rivers, those fish can move upstream. And so on public lands, the future is much brighter for fish and fishing.
So talk to me about that then, because we know that certain fish have been overfished, and that plays into so much of this. But then how we have dams, things like that on rivers. But you say in your book, too, that there is a movement to conserve the fishing, because if we don't, it could truly go away potentially.
Yeah, and it's a somewhat weird situation because in some ways anglers have brought on some of the problems by stocking non-native species, which have really impacted natives. But now anglers are part of the solution, and groups like Trout Unlimited are out there restoring native species, you know, from the Southwest to the East, even in places like Iowa. I caught native trout amongst the cornfields of Iowa. And that's because anglers now are valuing the native species. So in the past, fishing actually was part of the problem because people dump brown trout, they dump smallmouth bass in any water without regards to the natives.
So what do you hope is the takeaway from this book that you've written?
Yeah, well, just as I said that when you grow up with something, it's normal, even if it's a dead stream. I wanted to take a look at what fishing looks like right now so that we can envision what we want for the future. Because as anglers and as nature lovers, we can determine what the state is we want. And so do we want to be fishing in sewage ditches? I can't imagine that's the desired state. I want those wild places and the wild fish. And I think by taking stock of what we have right here, right now, we can achieve the future that we want.
So what do you think is the state of fishing right now?
I think it's a wild mix of things. I think that there are very strange fish in very strange places. But wherever I went, people were out fishing. And in places like the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., when I was a kid, that was a toxic water. People would fall in and they would send the ambulance. I went fishing there and I caught six species of fish, including native species, in sight of the Washington Monument. I caught eels that are migratory species that have been wiped out a lot of the East Coast. So I think with angler support, with clean water regulation, and with broad public support, we can restore and connect rivers.
So what is the good news then in all of this? As part of it, I think, as you just said, is that anglers restoring some of this native fish to their natural habitats.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I fished a number of waters for native species that I would not have been able to catch three decades ago. There are a lot of rivers, especially urban rivers, that are in better shape now than they have been in the last 50 years. So this is not a doom and gloom story. We can get there, but we have to pay attention, and we can't just expect everything to be a pristine wilderness. That's not a reality in a world that's going to have 9 billion people.
Right, but maybe not fishing in urban dumpsters, right?
Right. Yeah. Hopefully not. But I will do that in the name of science.
Yeah, just in the name of science. I love it. And your book, as I said, it is called Fishing Through the Apocalypse. Holy cow. Fishing Through the Apocalypse. It is available right now at Rediscovered Books in Boise. You will be speaking there this evening as well. I want to thank you for coming in today and talking more about this.
Thanks so much for having me.
My guest today, Matthew Miller, author of the new book, Fishing Through the Apocalypse. Thank you so much.